So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. Yeah. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Talkin' Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
And now we're off and running, man.
Couple false starts.
I think we got this figured out.
All right, man.
The producer is an idiot.
I think he's a hard-working, underpaid guy.
Absolutely one of those things is true.
The remuneration could be greater.
Sure. What's going on, man? How are we doing on a Sunday afternoon?
Yeah. I'm loving it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Got a couple black lagers into me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sampling as we speak right now. I am about to put my lips on a Calypso Island IPA from the Perth Brewing Company.
Now, we had a pre-beverage or two in the green room, and both had the black lager, the Bonfire Black Lager from the Perth Brewery.
Correct.
You weren't loving it. I wasn't loving it. I don't want to speak for you.
Unlike you, I didn't mind the flavor.
Right.
I found it to be undercarbonated.
Yes.
For a lager.
Yeah. And I didn't dislike it. But yeah, it didn't have a ton of flavor for me.
When I sit down on a lager, you expect a certain level of carbonation, right?
Yep. It's true.
And it wasn't bringing it. And then it kind of gives you the impression, is it bad? Is it skunky? Has it been open? Has the can been pierced in some way? Like Matt's nipple?
Yeah, both.
Probably not.
Nothing's pierced like Matt's nipple.
That's some high-grade piercing right there, my friend. Can hold his wallet. Everything. It's awesome.
I've moved on to the Brock Street Brewery.
Was it Brock or Brook?
That's a fair question.
I think it's Brook Street.
The Brook Street Brewery. Brock Street is in Whitby, Ontario.
Yeah, and nobody ever goes there.
They have a great restaurant. I think it's just called the Brock House now that I... it's
very,
nice for brunch.
Yeah, and very, unfounded. But an Uber driver told me that's where the most drunk people per capita live. Oshawa, Whitby.
Wow. You think, eh?
Well,
or he thinks.
He thinks, and he's driving him around. He's an Uber driver in the Oshawa-Whitby area. And he said it's way better when you get into the Ajax area. It's much. It's a definite step
Ajax
up from the trash
jackasses
that live in the Oshawa-Whitby area.
No one has ever
And Peterborough,
said that.
Peterborough people have been saying
that
forever.
You just keep cruising right into Scarborough, buddy. See what happens to you.
Yeah, no, that's what he said. He goes, no, you just Ajax. Nice.
Yeah, all right.
Suburbia.
Bullshit.
Yep. Whereas Ajax, I mean, where Oshawa Whitby, a bit of a pimple on the ass of more civilized Ajax.
No.
Okay. Anyways, that's just, that's his opinion.
Yeah. I hope you fucking raided him into the ground.
Five.
Yeah, of course.
Five. Peterborough guy says, screw you, dirty schwab.
I'm into the Irish Red from Brook Street, and it's got...
Red's a good color for you, man.
Thank you. It's nice. It's nice. It's got like a little bit of just a trace of fruitiness or something to it, which you don't always get in a red, but it reminds you a little of a carbonated Kool-Aid, but not nearly as sweet.
See,
but
you lost me.
Yeah, I figured I would. I've been trying.
With a little bit, exactly. Honestly, like dog shit on the bottom of my shoe. I just can't shake it. It's a little greasy. It's got a little stick with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind you getting some of your IPAs, you get that little bouquet.
Yeah.
Right? Where you get the little sort of a citrus snap or a sing to it.
And on my second sip here, I'm getting way less of the fruitiness I thought I was getting.
Okay,
that
to me is the inhale, right?
Yeah.
You're getting a little bit of that. And I know, all those people who are sitting out there wearing their sleeveless T-shirts, drinking their Coors.
You're my people.
Drinking
TCA loves you.
You're drinking your your Coors Light or whatever it is you got going, your John Molson's Finest.
Yeah.
Right? You're like,
it's dead on.
Bouquet. That's for wine drinkers. Yeah, it's really for people with a more sophisticated palate.
Look at this fucking guy.
All right.
All right.
You asked.
Yep. I don't think I did.
Okay. All right. Well, then you got it. Even if you didn't, this is what you need.
Why? Yeah. Why don't I give you the floor for a minute? Because I know you're very hesitant to take it on your own. Last week.
I'm best when you are starting with something and then I hijack it.
Yeah. I don't want to spend a ton of time here because we give the worst franchise in the NHL way too much attention as it is. But there was more Eugenie goodness last week.
Huge.
Is there anything you want to hit on? I think at this point, most people have probably heard what happened, but he appeared on a couple of radio shows, bashed the fan base, bashed maybe the most respected member of the media, suggested that they were perfectly happy in Canada again.
Whether people come or not.
Right. You got anything on the latest round?
Honestly, you've touched on it, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to take a run at the Ottawa media, I get it. Some of it comes across as he refused to come on after appearing on 590 in Toronto. He came on talk radio, 580 CFRA here
right.
in Ottawa.
Not his broadcast partner, not the sports radio station in town.
Refused to come on sports radio. And so a little bit of it, the little bit of the and local sports radio talk did not go haywire, but it does smack a little bit of you're always on Toronto radio, you never give us the time, right? It's got a little bit of my nose is bent out of it, so I don't get too crazy about that. Yeah, the run at Mendez in particular,
yeah.
when he said, you know, It's Bush League. He's talking about Pierre Dorion coming on with Ian Mendez and Sean Simpson in the afternoon after trading Mark Stone.
Yeah.
And you have three guys in the studio. There was no, he called it an ambush.
Yeah.
You have three guys sitting face to face having a conversation. It's not like I'm writing a blog somewhere and I'm ambushing you with a bunch of bullshit. I'm looking at you face to face.
Right. We're having a conversation here.
You have an opportunity to refute everything I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went on about how Bush the coverage is here. And so to me, I take issue with that. Right. And it makes you look small time.
I've at times thought the coverage here was Bush in the other direction.
Well, see,
entirely too favorable to the franchise.
Right. So you have the program director for TSN 1200 saying, yeah, we get a lot of people who say we are too pro team.
Yeah.
He goes, and then you have the team saying,
you're killing us.
You're killing us. He said, so that really means probably we're somewhere in the middle.
Could be. Yeah.
Right? Where if you got the team complaining, you got other people complaining, right? It's like we talked about Oilers fans and at the beginning of the year saying, you got the Flames way too high and the Oilers way too low. You go, do we?
Oilers out of the playoffs, Flames right there leading
winning the division.
Division.
Yeah. and you said it when we talked about that. You're like, that probably means we've got it just right. And so, yeah, to me, that's the thing. There was only one other issue that I wanted to bring up, and you touched on it, and it's gone from me now. But yeah, it's.
He got a bunch to say about real fans understand what I'm doing.
Thank you. Yeah. It was the when he was asked about fan unrest and having to, you know, build a bridge with the fans. And he's saying, no, not really. He said, we did a lot of work and we found that a lot of those tweets and the bad social media pub we were getting came from a 12-year-old in Scarborough. So we're not too worried about that. Like, are you serious? That's what you think? That it's a 12-year-old kid in Toronto doing all this tweeting?
Right. It's Brian 5 or 6.
Yeah.
He's actually a 12-year-old in Scarborough.
Yeah. Get over yourself. He showed up to talk about...
Now his trolls are out and about. Hey, like, they've got a bunch of burner accounts running around, and people who have way more expertise on this than I do are following that. And it's like the afternoon after his interview here, you know, 580 CFRA, I think it was Friday morning, all of a sudden there's Twitter accounts that are all out saying, I'm so proud of my owner today. Most people just don't understand, but he's doing his best or whatever. And so you dig deep and you're like, ah, I see this account was created 3 hours ago. It has two followers and all its tweets only talk about how great the Sens are, right? And
yeah,
all of them defending him. And so this is a thing that a lot of organizations do. Rarely are they this transparent, but Eugene's not created a lot of I'm not suggesting he is sitting at home on his
right.
computer.
Well, look no further than Brian Colangelo in the Philadelphia 76ers earlier this season.
You can hire people to set up these accounts for you and do whatever. And the one that is gaining the most traction right now is an account named Jack Maxwell. And it's the at handle is like at Jack Max 4736964325 4. You're like, that's probably not real. That's a really, yeah, but it's all out just pro Sens all the time, right? And it can't wait. You'll be able to tell me it was an afternoon game Saturday that the Sens played.
Yep.
Can't wait to watch my beloved Senators. The media doesn't treat them fairly, but I will. Game starts at 4 p.m. Eastern. You're like, who talks like that? Who throws the plug for the broadcast in at the end.
The start
right?
time.
Yeah. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No. And that's really all I have. It is old news, right? And if he speaks about his other businesses and stuff and you go, yeah, I don't know. And he seems like he knows what he's talking about. But as soon as he ventures into talking about hockey and business, hockey business in general.
Yeah.
You go, fuck, you're dumb. No, nobody believes that.
No.
Right? And as you said, you and I traded a couple of emails. Do the Maple Leafs really need Huge to weigh in on how they've...
Sixth place Toronto's
how doing. They've kind of botched what they're going to do, and they're never going to win a cup because they got no defense.
Right.
And again, he may not be wrong.
Sure.
But your team is shit, and it is in last place in the league, and it's a laughingstock from top to bottom.
And I don't know if he's looking for, if I take a shot at them, do I rally some more Ottawa people behind me? Like, Sens fans go, yeah, fuck Toronto. They're still looking at the same bad team you're putting in front of them going, hey, could you fix ours instead of worrying about somebody else?
The people you would hope to rally with that kind of a statement aren't listening to sports talk radio anyways.
Probably not.
Right? Those people know better for the most part.
So, of course, because this is what we do now, Toronto reporters asked, you know, Morgan Riley was like, what did you think about Eugene Melnyk's comments that your defense isn't any good? And he's, that's kind of funny. He's like, I don't have anything to say about it, but it's funny. And that was the way he left it. And they asked Babcock later. He's like, I don't have much to say about that. We have a great owner here in Larry Tannenbaum, and that's all I got to say.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, it is one of those things where what do?
Right.
You're like, no, guys, honestly, where's the glass-eating geek? Where's the bearded lady? Like, is that what? Like,
yeah. What's next?
Move along. Move along. The midway's over here somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I got. And really, and I'm sure that's all the listeners have a stomach for as well.
I wanted to touch only briefly on one thing as it pertains to the Leafs, who I know you were happy to see get their asses handed to them last Saturday. They lose again to the Rangers in overtime. And the only reason I bring this up is, for me, they're now 7 points back of the Bruins for second in their chase for home ice with 7 games left. That race is over. And I would like to see, you know, at worst, maybe we go 50-50 from here in terms of Freddie starting versus Sparks. You know, see if you can get him rested a little bit. Ron Hainsey could use a night or two off at 38 years old.
Maybe
he celebrates his
birthday.
Yeah, maybe. And Patrick Marleau has slowed right down, and his production is essentially that right now of a very good fourth liner. Now, Mike Babcock is never going to play him that way. But again, this is a perfect candidate that let's say there's 7 games left, which there two or three of those, that's a guy that could use a night off and should sit. But he hasn't missed a game in years and years and years. I don't even know how long it is. He's got one of the longest Iron Man streaks ever. And so you can't scratch him. You can't sit him down because we're all supposed to protect this streak and worry about how important it is. And I don't know how much of a difference it would make to me. Resting people throughout the season is something you do throughout the season. I would have loved to have seen Ron Hainsey and Patrick Marleau get the second half of every back-to-back off this year. That alone would have been something, because they both dragged their asses hard in those games. Where do you stand as someone, obviously I know you want the Leafs to go down hard in the first round, but can you even go to a guy like this with that much respect as he has around the league with this Iron Man streak and say, we'd really like you to take two or three games off here down the stretch?
Well, and before we get to that, the thing is, I was reading in The Athletic, and you're going to have to forgive me, you probably read the same thing, it would have been a week ago, talking about what an absolute drag Marleau is
on whoever he
on
plays
whatever,
with this
whatever
year.
Line he's on.
Yeah.
Right? And so you talk about his production being a great fourth liner, but yeah, just what a line killer he is.
Well, he was killing Matthews early on, and so they split that and put him back with Kadri, and that worked pretty well last year. Marleau,
for sure, last year was excellent.
Marleau with Kadri and Marner towards the end of the season was a really good line. But Marleau is killing. Well, look, there's a whole thing here. Kadri hasn't been the same this year. I don't know right. if he's having a hard time finding his role, if he's...
Well, yeah, there is. It becomes this, you're a very defined, you know, bottom six forward now.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if Marleau is dragging him a little bit or if it's just him, but he's not good. And I don't know now. Look, it's not going to change things drastically going into the playoffs, but to me, that guy could use a couple nights off here.
Right. But I think you're hard-pressed, right? It's like...
especially Babcock.
Yeah, and honestly, after seeing Colangelo earlier in the show, I'm trying to think of guy who was in Anaheim, who's now in Dallas now, was an Oiler before, had the Iron Man streak snap due to a suspension.
Oh, Cogliano.
Cogliano, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Andrew Cogliano. Right, that's Bush. It's a shitty way to lose your Iron Man streak.
Suspension for him.
Due to a suspension.
Yeah.
Right? And you go, so it'd be even worse. It'd be the ultimate kick in the dick if somebody came to you and said, yeah, you're old and I know you got the streak thing going.
Is there any way you can paint it? Like, because it's technically, it's a healthy scratch. It's not because Babcock has decided you suck so much. It's... Yeah. We need you to rest up, but it is a healthy scratch.
Yeah, no, because then, I don't know. I don't think Marlowe's taking it that way. Anybody who's played that many games, you know there's been times where he's been banged up.
Yep.
And even a little more than banged up, right? But still strapped it on.
I'm not proposing he doesn't play in round one. I'm not suggesting he's worked totally out of the line.
No, no, you're saying give him if there's seven games.
See if we can find a fucking little juice for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Because he was clutch for us. He scored, twice in game seven last year for us.
Yeah. No, I think he's, as a guy who could always skate and can still skate.
Yeah.
Right? He's just, you see how it's hit the wall.
Yeah.
For him. And I don't think you. I think you got to spot check him. You got to give him sort of 10 minutes a game.
Is that worse? Like, you get to keep your streak alive, but I'm only playing you 8 minutes tonight.
Yeah. Well, I think at his point in his career, what do you have?
Well,
a cup. A cup. Yeah, of course. That goes without saying. You want to be on a cup winning team.
Yeah.
Hello, Denny Savard, Montreal Canadiens, right? Yeah, you're hoisting a cup, but you're wearing a fucking suit.
Right.
If that's what's best, that's what's best, right? Do you want to be on a cup winning team that you don't play a role on?
It's like there's names on this roster right now that non-Leaf fans wouldn't even, like Trevor Moore has passed Patrick Marleau in terms of his value, in terms of what he's bringing, right? Like, Tyler Ennis has turned himself into a fairly productive player again in Toronto, who they can't afford to keep next year when he wants a raise, but that's
right,
what's going to have to happen here.
He'll be
here
in Ottawa then. We'll just
slide
him down
here.
That'll
be great.
Yeah, well, we signed with Brian Gibbons. The two of them will play together, two midgets. But yeah, to me, no, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't go to a guy like that and say, yeah, we're going to sit you. Yeah, you've played... and what is his streak at?
I don't know, but it's like
a good host would know that.
Well, here we are.
Okay. Okay. Nail on the head.
But it's something like 09 he hasn't missed a game in, or something ridiculous.
No. Okay.
I'm telling you, yeah, like it's really long.
You're talking 700 games.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is substantial.
But the question is, even for him, what's more important to me, this streak or trying to make sure that I can help us get through Boston here?
Yeah, and we've talked about it in a bunch of different areas. Really, it doesn't come down to Patrick Marleau, right? It comes down to Babcock.
Yeah.
Right? Where he says, yeah, you know what? You know what, Patty? Sorry about that. This team is honestly, its ass is sliding. Its back end is all over the road. Right? It needs some help, and let's see if we can't find something.
Yeah.
We're going to take this last seven games to just...
That's all I'm saying.
To take, I know, but yeah. I'm saying it doesn't come down to Patrick Marleau. If you're really looking at what's best for
a Toronto Babcock team. Babcock should say to him.
A Toronto team that's
race is over for home ice.
Is probably not going to get as many points as it did last year.
It's not. That's right.
And that's unthinkable, right? Would you not agree with me on that? At the beginning
I'm surprised.
For sure.
Yeah.
And that's been again, you were busy last week. I was busy. We didn't hook up. They're hitting this skid where, you know, they got smoked by Tampa, and we're going back 10 days or 12 days ago now.
Yep.
Right? But the whole homophobic slur thing came out, which takes center stage over any kind of ass-kicking they took off of Tampa. Right? The whole 23 goals, losing to Ottawa in very unsatisfying fashion if you're a Leaf fan. I can only imagine.
A Leaf fan who spent a couple $100 to be
Yeah. Well, and you know what? It's one of those things, and I have no problems believing that we're going to see some sort of replication of the attendance issue on the 30th of March when the Leafs roll back in here.
I don't know. You may have dampened a lot of spirits. Okay. Up here.
And then the Leafs totally smash the Senators on that
Could
night.
Could be.
And to me, I have no problems sure. believing that.
When we talked very early in the season that, you know, what do they play, five times a year, four times
four
a year,
times,
whatever,
yeah.
that it wouldn't shock me at all if Ottawa took three of four, right? Like the parity thing. Now,
yeah, you for sure said season split.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what, well, if Toronto wins the last one, it'll be a season
it'll
split.
It'll split, yeah. And it's just the parity being what it is, but man, it was bad, right? Like just the way they got crushed.
and coming out and after that night, honestly, I sent you a text because I was watching it on delay. Right. And you're at the game.
Yeah.
I'm not, because clearly every Leaf fan was at the game and every Senator fan
no room for
was not. Honestly, at one point when the Leafs scored the second goal, they panned to the 300s. Oh, man. It's like little pockets of red in certain spots.
Well, Maddie and I talked about this on the show not long ago, but you could tell kind of in the lower bowl. Between the blue lines is clearly where all your season ticket holders are stacked up, right? But the whole bowl all the way around from blue line behind the net all the way back around to blue line on the other side and same thing at the other end was, again, all blue. There was lots of red in the middle,
yep,
right, where all those guys are. But up high, like we were first row in the 200s. It was pretty nice. We had lots of Sens fans around us too, but there was so much blue. We posted a couple pictures on our Instagram at Talking and Audio of it was like, where's Waldo of the Sens fans walking up to the building, like just bus after bus after bus,
okay, but
just dropping off blue shirts.
And you know what the best was? Watching it at home, and did you tape it?
I watched the extended highlights the next day. That's
because at the end, watching all the Marner and Matthews jerseys leaving
up the stairs
early, honestly, it's gorgeous.
Oh, I get it as a Sens fan. Right? That's
and so I'm obviously behind you in real time watching it, and at the end of it, I was like, I text you saying, I could use a smoke.
Yeah.
Right? It was very orgasmic.
I'm walking and I just got smoked.
Yeah. Well, you just feel like that is the extent of our season, right? As good as it's going
to
get.
Well, last night, the Leafs play the Rangers, lose in overtime to the Bulgarian brute.
Georgiev.
I've heard. And they interview him because he killed us a couple weeks ago. We played the Habs on Saturday night to eliminate any talk of them passing us, and the next night go into New York and put up like 56 shots on this guy and lose, only getting one past him. And so last night, I guess they go, well, we'll throw him out there. And for some reason, the Leafs bury Lundqvist. He has the worst numbers of against any team in his career against Toronto for some reason, right? Because Toronto's been terrible forever leading up to this last couple of years.
Well, he's your James Reimer then.
I guess, well, So they throw Georgiev at us again, and he does it again to us. And they asked him in the post game, like, what did this win over Toronto in Toronto, you know, feel like? And he goes, it feels like I won the Stanley Cup.
It like, feels like great sex.
You're like, all right, man. Well, good for you, I guess.
Well, he's not going to the final.
That's
going
what
to the
I'm saying,
else,
right? Like, so he's like, there's you need these moments, I guess. And I'm well experienced as a losing hockey fan.
And I'm interested as we talk about this mess, this little hot poo that sort of is this stretch of the Toronto Maple Leafs season. Any anxiety? Like or how
oh,
do you
God.
Feel?
Okay. I'm a Leaf fan.
All right. But after the Ottawa game, how do you feel about a backup goalie who played like absolute shite saying, we need to have more passion. We need to be angrier.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, buddy, you've played 34 fucking NHL games.
Yep.
And you suck tonight. Like, honestly, you to me had more holes than.
Yeah, I thought in the first, and I was sitting like straight up, almost where you and I were when we went.
The first 10 minutes.
Yeah. I thought he held them in it and
he
gave
made some
them a
dynamite
chance.
Saves
yeah.
When Toronto was being outshot 8-0.
That's right. I thought he, off the hop, he was really giving them a chance. And then he kind of came apart a little bit. And then I think, was it 5-2? Toronto made it 5-2 or 4-2?
4-2.
Okay. I thought at that point, okay, let's see. Can this high-powered Toronto offense, I've seen them come back a bunch of times, and the next one against Sparks was awful.
That's the one where he was way
out. Yeah. And I'm like, what are you doing? And that was it. That was the backbreaker, and then he sucked the rest of the way. They sucked the rest of
the
way.
That was Duke.
And now I hear the next morning that after the game he's, we need to play with more fire. I'm like, you need to just fucking stay under control a little bit, buddy.
And, well, and, see,
and he had a really good game against Buffalo in his next chance out on Tuesday night or Wednesday night.
Shortly after.
Yeah, and he needed that because he had kind of made you put a lot of pressure on yourself when you started.
And Babcock said, well, Sparky just needs to make some stops.
Yes.
Like, I think that's about as close as you're going to get, dude.
Shut up.
You should shut up.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? You just worry about
you.
Because
he's never been Babs' guy. That was Dubas' guy, right? And Babs wanted Mac Lady back.
For sure. Babcock and Don Cherry clearly both wanted Mac Lady back, right? Yeah.
And look, I have time at this point for the argument, and it's not a hard one, that Sparks hasn't been very good. But that's with the benefit of hindsight. You go back a year and say, do you want to keep the 35-year-old career backup who just had the year of his life, or do you want to keep the 25-year-old AHL goalie of the year?
Yeah.
Dubas, at that time, for my money, made the right choice.
Well, and Dubas is, at that point, as the assistant GM in Toronto, is the GM of the Marlies, right?
Yep.
And so that's his guy.
Yep.
But I always say, you know, you look at Chris Weidman, AHL Defenseman of the Year, that shit means nothing.
Okay. But no one would have predicted that McElhaney would do this year. And you always pick the guy who's a decade young. Now,
I agree with you.
Yeah, and hindsight being what it is, you go, holy fuck, McElhaney would have looked good backing up Freddie or starting ahead of Freddie a couple nights this year.
Give Freddie 55 games.
Yeah.
Give McElhaney the 27 or whatever it is. And again, you're right. The math is easy when you say, ditch the 35-year-old and go with the 25-year-old showing promise, winning a Calder Cup.
It hasn't gone well.
For sure. All those things make perfect sense, right? But in a perfect world with no salary cap, you'd keep them both and just say, hey, man, we need a year or two. We're going to squeeze every bit of usefulness out of McElhaney. Then let him go, whatever, when we win our cup.
Yeah.
Right?
Or when he falls off a cliff.
That's what I'm saying is, we need that guy as that safety blanket for the nights that, because you know what, Sparks, you as a 7-7 are now 8-7 goalie. It's not doing it on a 100-point team.
Right.
That's just not cutting it.
Speaking of not doing it.
Oh, come on, man. Are we going to bring that up on air now, too?
Sorry,
I've
man.
I've hit a dry spot, man. That's all it is.
I wanted to talk about Ilya Kovalchuk. Out in Los Angeles.
Kovalchuk.
Who has been healthy scratched multiple times recently, and not even in favor of younger forwards that they're trying to get a look at. At some point, they're just deciding to go 11-7.
Yeah, the Guy Boucher, they call that.
Why is it only last place teams who run the 11-7?
Well, and you go, is there a correlation? Is there a coincidence? I would think there must be. Yeah. In that? You go, huh, 7D, 11 forwards. I hate it. Anybody who's played defense in the NHL, not me, but anybody else who's played defense in the NHL says it sucks.
Yeah.
You get no rhythm. Now, from a forward perspective, like Ottawa was when you still had Stone and Duchesne, you go, yeah, you give your top end forwards more time, right? More ice time while losing that sort of absolute bottom end forward.
Yeah.
But it fucks with the D so much that you have some D getting 6 minutes.
Yeah, and they're always with different partners, and it's never, never fall into a rhythm.
Yeah, I can't find anybody here because we've seen so much of it in the last 2 years. Nobody likes it. It doesn't work.
When I look at LA, I don't look at, despite the year he's had, I don't look at Ilya Kovalchuk as the absolute bottom forward that should be falling out in favor of this nothing defense that LA is also trying to run out there. Now, well, it hasn't been good. He has 14 goals.
14 assists.
14 assists, that's right, for 31 points. That is not what they gave him $6.25 million.
I don't know, 40 points seems to be about $6 million, doesn't it? Hey, isn't
in the seniors bracket. Are you? Yeah, exactly. Well, as we allude back to Patrick Marleau.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Right there.
I didn't expect this. Okay. I did not expect the old Ilya Kovalchuk. But I didn't expect
about that,
this.
Man. Yeah. See, local radio here on TSN 1200 on between 10 and 2 most days, former NHLer, Ottawa Senator, and Atlanta Thrasher, Todd White, is on that sort of midday show who spent a couple years on Kovalchuk's wing.
Yeah.
Or no. Kovalchuk's on his wing.
Yeah.
And listening to him talk about it, what a diva Kovalchuk was in those days. Just in terms of, being an elite sniper, a goal scorer.
I'll never forgive him as a world junior scoring an empty net goal against Canada and riding his stick.
In Winnipeg? Am I right with that?
I don't remember, but maybe.
I always have that stuck in my head. But he's an absolute, at Worlds or any of those things, he's a Canada killer, right?
Yeah, but the way he celebrated after the empty net goal, I would have punched that 18-year-old in.
Yeah, well, okay, it was a 17-year-old for me, a 17-year-old Ovechkin in Halifax, jumping up, pulling the front of his jersey and pressing it against the glass. And you're like, oh, if I could get down on the ice.
This kid.
This 30-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, who knows, Ovechkin, even at 17, probably 60.
Maybe. Taking
me down. I got no idea.
Then rubbing his jersey on your
face. Yeah, exactly. He's a big man.
For sure.
I can't really, I don't know, man. Who knows how that's going to go. But, yeah, I think now coming back as an older guy, it's got to be.
Because he had ditched that a little, especially in New Jersey. They loved him on their cup run there. Well, cup final run. He was one of the best defending wingers in the league that year before he left and went back. But he did fuck the Devils hard, right? Like, they weren't supposed to be able to get out of that deal, and the NHL just decided to let them off the hook for the cap hit because Lou's one of Gary's buddies, and that was fine when he was here, or on my team. But, yeah, he had sort of ditched that label.
Mafia.
And then he comes back, and I don't know what I expected, but not this. I didn't expect healthy scratch Kovalchuk. I didn't expect
fourth line. Is he up in the press
line
box with Dion Phaneuf?
Fuck.
Are the two of them hanging out up there?
Yeah.
It's
a lot of cap money in the box.
And really, listening to him speaking out, right, I know he spoke to The Athletic.
Yeah, that's the article I was just reading.
And I didn't read that article, but I saw a Sportsnet article I was looking at where he was, and they referenced the Athletic article fairly heavily.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he's coming right out and he's saying, I'm not Willie's guy.
And that's, he did. He said, he put
me
up.
He hate me.
Yeah. He put me up with Kopitar in December or January, and we scored in every game, and it was 5 or 7 games or whatever. And then I'm gone again. He's like, that's the coach's decision, and the coach is responsible for our results this year. You're like, ooh, okay. Not totally, but I see what you're trying to do here.
Yeah. Well, and they're a trash team.
Yeah, and Willie's a placeholder. He won't be back next year. So I'm surprised they're letting him do this a little bit. But, like, I do not expect Willie Desjardins to be the longtime coach of the LA Kings. Well, I think he...
When you hope to kickstart what Stevens left behind.
Yeah.
Right? And you go, yeah, we're going to do this. Oh, wait, we have plummeted to... And it's worth noting, they are 4 points ahead of Ottawa for last. But Ottawa's beat them both times they played.
Yeah.
Okay, but Ottawa, if Ottawa can get close... And after beating Edmonton last night, thank you very much, is... Yeah.
Our Western correspondent wasn't loving that.
We have
he had family in the crowd, man. Hey, Ruined their weekend.
We have the row on those guys, yeah. too, so suck it. Suck it, Kings.
Suck it, Oilers.
And suck it, Oilers, yeah. All right. You're not that good.
No, I think they've got that now.
Do they, though? No, they don't.
That loss to the Senators pretty much finished off their season.
The Canucks,
guys are king killers here recently.
The Canucks were way too overpowering, but those Oilers, yeah, you know what?
Yeah, do you expect, like, he seemed to indicate, Kovalchuk, that he's not looking to be dealt. He's not, you know, he's got kids now in school in LA. And
well, he's not looking good for you, buddy. Who's picking up your 12.5?
And it's an over 35 contract, right? So if the guy retires, you're stuck with it. Like, there's no cap relief there. But I think he might have a no move. I think they gave, like, I think this is now just a thing that he rides this out for the next couple of years.
The Kings ride it out, you mean?
Well, both of them. Like, neither of them can be happy with this arrangement. This has gone terribly.
Yeah. But as you've said, he does have 31 points, 17 goals, a healthy scratch, has worked his way up and down the lineup.
I don't have to say this because I had him pegged for close to 30. I still thought he could get close to 30 goals. But some of that would be on their power play because, you know, Kopitar had that big year last year and you thought maybe he's coming back around. They still have Drew Doughty. Right. They still have Jeff Carter. Like, well, I thought he'd get
Kopitar,
fat.
Kopitar and Brown both killed it last year.
Well, I think Brown killed it because of Kopitar last year. But
sure. No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But he seemed to have fallen back a little bit again. I didn't expect he'd be hard-pressed to hit 20.
Well, and Jake Muzzin's brought his excellence to... Oh, maybe not. I don't know. But you're missing that, too. But they have Toronto's first.
They have Toronto. Yeah, they do.
They do, man.
Yep.
It's true.
They can have it.
I think... Okay, perfect.
Yep. I'm fine with that trick.
Colorado's got our first, so yeah. We're not glass house guys, not throwing big stones anyways.
I think one side would do it over again and the other may not.
Yeah, no, the other side would not.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of room for growth there in terms of what the new coach is going to come in there with, right? And you're stuck with that.
So are you suggesting they may keep Willie around just to ride out the shit?
Well, to me, it's like Ottawa. It's those teams like that, if you are transitioning, and Ottawa's got a pile of good things coming and picks, right? Whatever happens, the coach you hire next in Ottawa or in Los Angeles is the coach you're going to fire in 3 years when the team is getting better but not quite achieving over the top standings, right?
Yeah.
So the guy you hire now in either place is really a placeholder anyways. So
I don't like that comparison. I don't think LA yet has anywhere near... I think LA is behind Ottawa in terms of when they decided it's time to rebuild and what they can do.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you have to come to that understanding.
Yeah.
And whoever they hire, whether it's Desjardins or, man...
Whatever.
fill in the next.
Yeah.
Right? Sheldon Keith.
Doubt right? it.
Yeah, no, the Leafs are just going to pay him more to stay there.
Right? I think they might.
Yeah, that's honestly, you hear that because...
The highest paid AHL coach ever, what they offered him.
Well, would you have Colin Greeny making 750 grand on an AHL contract?
Do it, man.
Well, this this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's a team that goes, who cares, man?
Yeah.
This is what we're going
to
do.
I think we're going to lose Sheldon Keefe. I just don't think it's to LA, that's all.
Or Ottawa,
yeah. Maybe DJ Smith, though.
No, honestly.
They asked for him last year, and Toronto said no.
Yeah, we don't want him.
I think you do.
Maybe you don't,
yeah, but your brilliant management team does. If you're going to take away the guy playing Ron Hainsey 22 minutes a night for us, you can have him.
Yeah, no. See, whatever happens here, we need as an assistant, we need a former NHL defenseman. bam, working on this.
You can have Phil Housley. He's about to get fired in Ottawa. Or
he
Buffalo.
Is not about to get fired there. They love him.
Oof. I hope not.
They love him. They That's go, terrible. Look at that guy. Look at the work with the U.S. National Development. Yeah. Come on, man.
If anyone knows how to teach defense, it's Phil Housley.
Well, yeah. And so what do you think about, and I have no idea where you thought you were going with this, but yeah, here's
we're out there now.
Here's where we are now. Yeah. And I'm looking at, with Ottawa's first pick gone in Colorado and Jack Hughes being that.
Jack Hughes.
Yeah. I'll excuse myself. Or Rick Hughes.
Yeah.
It's, and again, I have no problem saying that this is my own bias saying I'm not buying the hype on him. Are you buying the hype on him?
On Jack Hughes?
Yeah.
I don't know nearly enough about him. And I got to be honest, I felt that way about Austin Matthews when we drafted him.
I certainly felt that way about Austin Matthews.
That I had heard, you know, your trust in the experts and all that stuff. And my thing was, give me the center over the winger because Lion A was the other big one. And that was my sole.
Yep.
I'll take that guy, right?
And you and I had that conversation here where
I
was saying.
So now with Jack Hughes.
Do the Lion A thing.
I'm just like, I don't know. I guess, right? Like, that's what he didn't play nearly enough at World Juniors for me to get a look at him. He was hurt through most of the round robin.
Right.
I don't know.
They're saying.
Kapukaku.
Yeah, they're saying kind of Patrick Kane, kind of.
For Hughes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of comparison you're looking at, right? And you look at whether he passed Kessel or Matthews. I can't remember just recently with his goal scoring. He's now the.
Okay.
He's passed these guys. These are the kind of guys in the U.S. national developmental team program.
That's the level he's on.
That he's at, right? Yeah. And he's surpassing these guys in terms of season,
right?
Career goals, all these sorts of things, right? So,
well, it wouldn't surprise me to hear he had passed Matthews since he went to Switzerland for the last year. But
for sure.
But I don't know. Like, maybe he is the better player, right? But we'll see.
No, I think he's got the longevity, right?
Yeah.
And as a guy who has... You know, an American kid, obviously, but played the bulk of his minor hockey in the GTA.
Yeah.
Right? His dad was either a scout or worked for the Leafs in some fashion.
Right.
Right? And so, very interested. I'm not sure that – I'll be interested to see, really, what Colorado ends up with him, if that's where they go. And I'm
looking at worst case scenarios here.
Pretty sure that's the way. Yeah, I don't expect him to turn out like Patrick Steffen.
No, that rarely happens anymore for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't feel heartbroken to look at. Now, honestly, I'd like a first.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of self-preservation here in the Senators fan base to downplay what he might be.
And that's what I started with.
But who knows, right?
Right. I would hate to if it was Matthews, you look at it and you go, the things to like about that guy is you go, yeah, he's 18 and he's already got this sort of man's body.
Yeah.
Right? Now, it turns out that man's body may be susceptible to injury. Don't know. We'll wait and we'll see. Talking about Matthews
I
now.
I know, yeah.
Right? His surefire, 50 goals in 35 games, breaking records. Is he going to make 40 goals this year?
Yeah, but he's 1 point off his career high right now, and that's having missed 15 games this year. So he's had a dominant season despite what...
What do you mean he's going to break 70 points?
Yes.
That's worth $12 million.
Yep. Tell me more, Chris Tierney.
Yeah. Hey, man. Chris Tierney's making, what, $3 million?
Yeah.
And we're not comparing Chris Tierney and Austin Matthews. Are you very wittily comparing top centers to?
Yeah.
Because I throw forward J.G. Pageau.
Throw him. You should throw him.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch briefly on this afternoon, just before you got here, I had the Clarkson Cup on. And it was the Calgary Inferno taking on the Montreal Canadiens. N-N-E-S, I guess.
Yeah, Canadien.
Marie-Philippe Poulin sits out with an injury. So devastating their top line. They still have Hillary Knight. Put up a good fight, but at the end of the day, it's a 5-2 Calgary victory. And the main reason I bring this up, it was a fun game to watch. They've done a nice job here over the last couple of years, giving it a home. I think for the last 2 years, it's been in Toronto. The year before that, it was in Ottawa. I'd like to see them go to less of this neutral site bullshit and the better team hosts the game. But I see what they're trying to do in terms of giving people time to, you know, make it an event every year. Even if it rotates, right? Like announce now that it's in Calgary, whether Calgary's in it or not, you know, whatever you want to do there.
Right.
But there was an interesting article in The Athletic this week because the CWHL was in town about whether or not Marie-Philippe Poulin is already the greatest women's hockey player of all time. And they spoke to numerous players on both the Canadian and American side who are playing now or who have played in the past for their opinion. And there seems to be, at least against those who have played with and against both of them, that she might be. And that Haley Wickenheiser was sort of, you know, well-regarded as a really good two-way player. And one of the American defenders who played against Haley Wickenheiser in her prime said, when Wickenheiser was coming down on you, you knew what she was going to do. That didn't mean you could stop it, but you knew what she was going to do. She was going to overpower you, she was going to lean on you, and she was going to get a great shot away. So with Marie-Philippe Poulin, is much more of today's kind of dynamic hockey player in terms of the way she skates, in terms of the way,
skill.
Yeah, and the way she can turn on you, the way she can make a move, things that, you know, maybe Wickenheiser couldn't do or Goyette couldn't do or, you know, some of these players in the past. And they said, you know, they're trying to compare the statistics, and they said that she's still only the seventh highest scoring player in Canadian women's history, but she's done it in a generation where she's not feasting on even Team USA, who always battled Canada hard, would maybe have two really good lines and two soft lines. And then Russia and Finland and Sweden and everybody would suck.
China.
Yeah. And these teams are still not on the same level as Canada, the European ones now, not the Americans. They clearly are. But they're better, right? And it's harder to put up those big numbers. And I know you didn't have a chance to read the same article and examine the numbers. And the numbers really don't paint a good picture because of the generation difference. But do you think it's even possible, given the growth of the game over the last several years, to ever be able to properly measure or quantify that?
See, and you're right, I didn't read the article. But it's great that they're having this discussion. That in itself shows that women's hockey at that level has seen the growth that it has.
Yeah.
Right? That you can talk about a generational player like Wickenheiser, who everyone, you know, at least north of the border, I can't speak to.
Sure.
Would talk about how great she was and how the Calgary Flames are going to, retire her jersey or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Right? That was the Oilers.
I don't recall.
One of these Alberta teams. And she's not
nothing of their own to celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. One, she's from Saskatchewan, but that's okay. But yeah, that you can have these and get to the point where you go, yeah, but it's not really comparable.
Right.
Right? And you go, the game that Philippe Poulin plays in is so much different than
it's harder, yeah,
than the game that it went through. And so all you can do is, and this is the great part, right, is you go Crosby, Gretzky,
yeah,
right, those sorts of things. You go McDavid, Lemieux, right? You go, you start to look at these things and you go, well, you can't really at this point.
You can go further than that. Like, where does Maurice Rocket Richard and Gordie Howe fit in with these guys? And the league's the league is unrecognizable.
Well,
right?
This is it. In terms of how different it is, all you can look at, and we've used it the same analogy in the men's game, and you transfer it to the women's game, is how dominant are you in your generation?
Right.
Right? And it's interesting to hear somebody who defended against Wickenheiser in her prime and say, yeah, all right. You know, but to me, that in itself is greatness. That's your Gordie Howe. That's your Phil Esposito.
This is my move. This is what I do well. And you know it's coming.
And you can't stop it.
Right. Yeah. And Cassie Campbell-Pascal was on the broadcast with Sportsnet today, and kudos to them. They had an entirely women's crew that, I don't want to sound like an asshole, I don't think I will in saying this, sometimes you can tell when that was clearly the goal over quality, right? They put out a broadcast that actually had it and was quality.
So it was Sportsnet, so they didn't have Bunnum then?
They didn't have Tessa Bunnum, who does a real nice job on TSN. But no, this was Leah Hextall. It was Cassie Campbell-Pascal. They had Spooner, Natalie Spooner, was on the broadcast. They had a few different women who all did a very nice job with it. And
okay,
but Pascal or Cassie Campbell said that to her, there's no question it's Marie-Philippe Poulin, and she played with Wickenheiser for a long time on those Olympic teams, right? And she said just watching what she does and against higher quality of competition than, you know, in her words, than she herself ever played against. She said, you know, I have no doubt. She just said to all that she's a very well-rounded player at both ends of the ice, and she can kill you, right? So
when you watch the women's game now, and whether it's the last Olympics or the last World Championships, you know, when invariably it goes to a shootout, right, as it does with the Americans and the Canadians,
yeah,
right? The moves the women are making at top speed,
yeah,
blow away anything men were doing 15 years ago.
It's true.
Right? And so the speed moves and skill that women have now exceeds what, honestly, like I said, what men were doing 15 years ago. Yeah. So to me, in itself, you've already seen the game move so far from where the women's game was when they held the first world championship here in Ottawa 30 years ago, when women are wearing that
pink jerseys.
Right? And you go, now that's it's sort of this unique thing, and oh, look at that's cute. No, man, now they are absolute hockey players.
Yeah.
Hockey players. And true. So whether you, whichever side you come down on, it's fantastic for women's hockey that you're having the debate.
Right. So I guess the last thing we'll try and get to on this one is what I found to be a fairly stunning announcement last week from the UFC on the fact that they have moved all of their American, for now, pay-per-view fight broadcasts to the ESPN Plus app, which, for those who don't know, it's sort of an over-the-top version of ESPN. It's a streaming service you subscribe to. I think it said it was $5 American, $4.99, whatever. And they have archives of the old 30 for 30 shit. They have some boxing stuff. They have
no sports desk. It's all live sports events. Sports
Center, you 40-year-old, 50-year-old fuck.
Yeah, okay. Guilty as charged.
Yeah.
Yeah, no Sports Center. It's all live events.
Yeah, they've got some NHL. They've got some MLB.
Mostly MLS, yeah. ATP tennis.
As they try and build this into kind of a secondary, you know, streaming platform on your phone or on your Apple TV or whatever it might be. So UFC says this is now, and this isn't new. UFC is moving, or maybe already has, from Fox Sports.
Already has.
To ESPN. And you know, you see things like Fight Night now on ESPN2 instead of on Fox Sports. And so they're trying to become a good broadcast partner with ESPN, right? And
yeah. So this is the first or second year, I think, where they've moved away from Fox.
It's got to be first. I know this all happened.
So, but they definitely are on with ESPN now.
Ariel Helwani has moved his talk show. For those who don't know, he's, you know, kind of the Joe Rogan, I guess. I shouldn't say of UFC, because Joe Rogan is the Joe Rogan of UFC, but, you know, has the MMA Hour, and he's kind of the top reporter in MMA. He's got a show on ESPN Plus that he does weekly.
Is he allowed back in the building yet?
Well, depends what week it is.
Okay.
What mood Dana's in. But the idea becomes that instead of ordering your UFC pay-per-view on Saturday night at 10 o'clock on cable pay-per-view, you now watch it through the ESPN Plus app. And it's still, you still have to pay your $5 a month, although there are some different promotions going on that if you were willing to pay it all up front, you know, you could get the first pay-per-view at a discount.
Yep.
But
pay you're it all paying, up front at $70.
You're paying $5 a month for the app, and then it's still, what is, I think it was $62 for the pay-per-view, which they dropped to $57 to account for
your
$5.
Yep.
I don't know what to make of this. I can tell you, as a guy who is a Leaf fan in Ottawa, I've gotten used to the fact that I have to watch a lot of my stuff online. That's where it's easiest to get Leaf games, right? Through their NHL package. I know, for comparison's sake, the WWF moved to putting most of their pay-per-views on their own network. Instead of ESPN Plus, it's WWF or WWE Network. But their deal is $10 a month for, it's all-day programming, right? It's like a TV channel, and then you get the pay-per-views with it. So instead of spending $40 once a month on the...
We're gonna get your $120 a year.
Yeah, but you'll get WrestleMania. You'll get the Royal Rumble or whatever. They don't do $10 plus the pay-per-view. So that is a business model I kind of get, right? You're maybe, you know, for the guy who only buys two wrestling pay-per-views a year, you've now got him locked up for the whole year, and maybe that makes more sense to you. This is interesting to me because you're still going to pay for the app, and now you're going to pay for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but what are wrestling pay-per-views? They're not as much as...
They're still $40-$50.
Okay.
40 anyway.
Well, then I'm
WrestleMania is like 60 coming up here in a few weeks.
Okay, crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, neither here nor there. It comes down to... It almost, if I was an American, I'd get it. I'm interested in the archival stuff that comes with it, right? There's a bunch of things. And clearly, when they talked about further acquisition of 20th Century Fox and their back catalog and Hulu that's going to come with that, and they're clearly moving towards a bigger sort of, as everything sort of moves to more of an a la carte kind of a thing, right? They're trying to build this as a sort of a destination place where you're going to be able to get all kinds of stuff.
What are you more likely to do? Would you be more willing to pay $10 a month or $12 a month, whatever, for ESPN Plus and know that you already have all the UFC pay-per-views built in? Or would you pay $5 a month just to have access to UFC pay-per-views and decide month by month what you want to do?
Yeah, well, clearly the WWE model is much more fan-friendly, right, in terms of your expenditures.
Yeah, I would have to think they've lost money. Now, they've cut out, because you have to pay something like 40% to the cable company, right, just to provide the pay-per-view. So if UFC is charging $50 for a pay-per-view, and it's more than that, but let's, to make this easier, they're giving away $20 to $25 of that to the pay-per-view company each time. So yeah. I get for them to move over to ESPN. ESPN's getting their $5 still, so they're good. And now UFC claims a bigger percentage of what is almost for sure going to be a smaller
purchasing. I think the sport has kind of, so it hit its apex and it's kind of descended a bit.
Yeah.
Right? But it's hit that boiled down area where what you're left with is really the long time hardcores.
Yeah.
Right? And so sure, they flip over and they get their $60 a month because maybe they're going to get their old Pride footage or their old, you know, these sorts of things, you know?
Well,
and if you want to see Tough,
but there's still
I'm sure you're only going to get it there.
But maybe that's on Fight Club, which is UFC's own app, which they have to keep up and...
Well, see, but they were saying, because that was in the article as well, that they didn't mention...
All the prelims will still be on Fight Pass.
Yep, okay.
So
but
then you have to...
prelims?
Okay. But let's say you are that hardcore guy who does watch the prelims on Fight Pass, and it does get you all the archives and all the old fights and Pride and all that shit that UFC owns. Then I got to get out of that app, and I'm making this sound harder than it really is, right? But you are flipping out of that app and now going over to ESPN's app to buy over here.
Yeah.
How many times do I got to pay you fuckers, right? And how many different places are you going to make me go?
Well, I guess they'll figure that out. Right?
And
it is, what is it, it's a 7-year deal, it's an extension on this?
Yeah, so if it's a flop, they'll get out. I'm surprised it's 7 years. That's a long time. I might have tried 2 or 3 years to see what it does to your business, but, you know, I guess they figure ESPN's cut them a big enough check just to be a partner that, you know, maybe they're not losing anything. But it will be a smaller... My dad's not a UFC fan, right? But he knows how, if he wanted to, he could get on and buy the show on his cable box on pay-per-view. He's not going to go and download a separate app and then give that app his credit card information and then get his monthly subscription and then go past that to get this specific pay. People aren't going to do that. And, you know, when we used to, up at my cottage, we'd order fights not often, but now and then, and go and watch it on Len's big screen, a buddy of ours down the lake, the internet wasn't good enough. Like, you couldn't have done it in the boons, right? You could do it on the satellite, but you couldn't have done it over the internet. So there's this is not a perfect solution. I'm telling you, they're going to lose buys on this.
Okay, well, and you do buy more,
yeah,
than I do. And so I'll take your word for that. If I was in the States.
And that is important. Nothing's changing yet in Canada.
Right. That I'd drop the $5 or $6. I would. To me, it would be worth it. I'm interested in
still got to watch it online. It's not perfect. There are nights here where it's frustrating. It's a little jumpy. It's a little, you know.
Yeah. Well, and as you say, that's very telling, right? If since it is only a streaming.
Yeah.
Right? That you are sort of stuck with.
You can still go to the bar. Like, theirs is still going to be available through TV, through whatever their commercial
program.
Interesting,
right? That they said they didn't want to mess with that.
Yeah, because they know, right? Like, bar owners aren't going to
But it seems odd,
streaming.
Does it not?
Yes, it does. Because if this is good enough for your customers, why isn't it good enough for...
What about the six people sitting in my living room paying $60?
Yeah. And we've done that a few times with the McGregor-Mayweather thing here.
Yeah, whereas the 200 people in the bar, you're
right.
Where are you getting more money?
Yeah.
Because now it makes me really... And now I'm just freelancing here. But yeah, it makes me want to say, I'll go to the bar.
Yeah, which a lot of people do, right? Like, I'm not giving you that. Like,
I'll go sit up there
and more and more.
Watch it and I'll spend $25 on beer.
And you balked at it a little while ago, and that's fair enough. But there's a ton of bars in this city that will show WrestleMania this year, still in 2019, because...
Oh, yeah, I balked at it, but I've been balking at it for 27 years.
They don't show the Royal Rumble or whatever other... But WrestleMania is still a big deal, right? And if you can get a bunch of people to come in and, like you say, willing to spend $30 or $40 on beer each instead of 60 or 70 on HD pay-per-view, that's good business, man.
No, I get it. And again, that makes you go, well, why would you say, we're going to still allow you to...
Yeah. But this is apparently not up to snuff, is what it tells me.
But you at home need to stream it.
Right.
Okay.
So you're still capable of providing both.
I'll just skip that and I'll hit the big fights.
I wonder how much that's going
to
happen.
I'll hit the big fights in the bar. Yeah. And I didn't really think about that when I read the article, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think that's all we got on this one, man.
That's probably it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll wind this one down. You can give us a follow on the social medias at TallCanAudio, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. We might do a little Patreon something with our friend Maddie Lang in Toronto next Friday. But
I think the chances are good.
Yeah. That's TallCan Sports. We will catch you all in the next episode, and we'll see you later.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year. Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCan Audio on your favorite podcast app.